Daniel 10, as I mentioned to you this morning, this particular chapter has been so interesting to me. I have honestly been so interested in this. I want to read the second half of this chapter, and then I'll show you what we're going to look at. The first half of the chapter is Daniel in mourning. He is sad, he is empty, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. He sees him as he is, and it strikes fear into him. And in verse 10, it says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." It pulled him up to all fours. And it doesn't say expressly whose hand that was. But based on what he said, it sounds like and it appears to be the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Daniel in chapter 9, and he said some of and much of the very same things that he is saying right here. Verse 10, "Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent." All of that was said in Daniel chapter 9. If you look at Daniel 9, verse 21, Daniel said, "Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel," and that's the angel Gabriel. Angels are always referred to as men. They look like men. "Even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." He touched me. "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." So it appears that this same messenger, the same angel, has been sent to Daniel to instruct him again. Back in chapter 10, verse 10 says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Again, that's exactly what he said in chapter 9. He said, the moment you started crying out in prayer, the commandment was sent. Your words were heard. And the commandment was sent, and he said, I am come to tell you these things. That's what he said in chapter 9. Verse 13, he said, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, 21 days, 3 weeks. Look at verse 2. This chapter started with Daniel saying, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." 21 days, 3 weeks. This messenger said, the command was given for me to come to you 3 weeks ago. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. He went to war with me. And he's saying, I have been fighting him for 3 weeks. And he said, this is the first chance I've had to get away to come deliver this message to you. That's interesting, isn't it? And he said, the only reason I was able to get away was because, verse 13 goes on to say, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, either this same angel Gabriel or the other angel Michael or another angel altogether, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6. He said, one of the seraphims, having a live coal from the altar, touched my lips and I spake. Well, verse 16 says, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord. Notice that that's a lowercase L. He's giving reverence to this one who has come to him. O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord, lowercase l, talk with this my Lord? How can I even talk to you? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Like when the angels came and strengthened our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord, lowercase l, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. He said, I have told you what I was commanded to tell you, and now I have to get back to that war that I've been fighting for the last 3 weeks. That's just fascinating to me. Verse 21, he said, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, the commentary writers pointed out that he spoke of, I read it, and you didn't notice it, but I'll tell you what we just read. He spoke of the king of Persia, which was a man named Cyrus at that particular time. He mentioned the kings of Persia. But his war was with the prince of Persia. And to get right to the point, no mere man could war with an angel of God and be any match for an angel of God. We just mentioned in a message recently the power and the skill in battle that God has given to his angels. This angel was not at war with Cyrus, the king of Persia. He was at war with the prince of the power of the air. and his devils with him. The spirit that now worketh and worketh and worketh and worketh in the children of disobedience. Look at verse 13. It says, but the prince, the angel, the fallen angel, the fallen angel, that's what they all were. That's what they all are, fallen angels. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the chief angels, one of the elect angels that kept their first estate, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. The kings guarding them, protecting them, carrying out the will and the purpose of our Lord. Now, Michael, the archangel, the chief prince, he is most definitely a picture of Christ. Gabriel said, I would have never prevailed in the battle had Michael not come to help me. Because of him, I am come to you. And that's exactly what we say concerning our Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. On this rock I stand. Hither by thy help I am come. Our battle was fought and won by the chief angel, the angel of the Lord. Even though Michael is called one of the chief angels, he still defers all the strength, all the authority, all the power, all the victory to Jesus Christ. One time he was disputing with the adversary over the body of Moses, and he would not even bring a railing accusation against him. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. The chief, the highest, the preeminent one, Jesus Christ. The Lord is the authority. The Lord is the judge. The Lord is the man of war who will win the battle. And he is, and he has. He is the chief. And because of that, everything concerning his people is ordered and sure. Everything that he has ordained concerning them will stand. It will stand. It is set in stone. And what struck me about all of this, this is what fascinated me. Our Lord has set this in stone. And his stone that he has set is this. Our Lord commands his angels, and all over this globe he has stationed his angels in this earth, different parts of this earth. He has given them a commission. He's given them a charge to keep his people and to ensure that their safe arrival to him comes to pass. And they are constantly accomplishing that commission. I've titled this message, The Ministry of Angels. To our Lord be all the glory for this. But this has just been so comforting to me. I hope this will be enjoyable for us. What we are reading about, this battle that Gabriel and Michael fought, what they were fighting, that happened, that is happening, and that will happen continuously, until every wicked power of spiritual darkness is cast into the lake of fire. That will happen continually. And please don't misunderstand me. The battle is over. It's over. The victory over sin, over death, over hell, it is won for God's people. Christ, our chief, won that battle on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, because that victory is settled, the battling of God's angels carrying about everything He has established in place, that will continue until every child of God is brought safely to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ministry that He has commissioned to all of His angels. That's the ministry of God's angels. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's their purpose. That's the reason God stationed them on this earth, to do everything that has to physically be done to minister absolute care and safety to God's people. I want to prove that to you by showing you some examples in the Scripture. A while back, a few weeks ago, I told you I'd love to take some time and take you on a tour through the Scriptures to see what it says about God's angels. We're going to do that. I've written down a lot of examples. The rest of this message is just going to be us reading examples from the Word. And I'm going to keep an eye on our time, and I'm going to do as many as we have time to do. But I think if we hurry Scripture to Scripture, you'll be glad you saw this. This has just been so encouraging to me. All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, verse 5, it says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly,' and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he saith unto him, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.' And he went out and followed him, and knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." He thought he was just seeing a vision. Verse 10, "When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord." You can picture this big iron gate, and here they come, and all of a sudden, these two big iron gates just open up. "It opened of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." Verse 11, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" Peter said, "I now realize God sent an angel to do that for me." That's amazing, isn't it? Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts Acts 5, verse 17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and I believe they're answering from experience, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince, capital P, angel, and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." That's just glorious. They put them all in prison, and they were going to have their way with them, and they said, they're not in there. They're preaching in the temple. Turn with me over to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39, it says, "And he came out, our Lord came out, and went as he was known to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Our Lord did that as us. He did that in the place of us. And what that angel did for him, God's angels do for us. Strengthening him by the commandment of God, by the authority of God. Strengthening us in moments when we need to be strengthened. Turn with me to Luke 15. Verse 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Joy in heaven among the angels. The angels break out into rejoicing every time a sinner is converted. every single time. 1 Peter 1 says, these are the things the angels desire to look into. Look with me at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 72,000 angels. Do you not realize that with one word, don't you love that? Peter grabbed his sword, and don't we do the same thing? I'm going to grab my sword, you know. Our Lord said, do you not realize that with one word, the angels would empty heaven and pour out the fury of God on these men? Verse 54, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? They're not going to do that because this must come to pass. This is the will of God. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, one of God's people. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. People talk about guardian angels. You know, we think about guardian angels. Well, we have them. God's people have them. They are always sitting on go. They are always sitting on go, keeping their eye on the face of the Father, waiting for His command. One of the most wonderful things that I have seen is years ago, our girls were in elementary school, and they had a field day. And the parents were invited to come, and Hannah and I went. And they had all these different activities and things like that for the kids. And one of the things was a police canine display. A couple of police officers, two or three police officers, brought this canine dog, and they put on a demonstration. And at first, they let the dog out of the car, and the dog was a dog. The dog looked like a dog, acted like a dog. You know, kind of checking out all the kids. But that dog's master, that police officer, gave a command, and that command was, it's time to go to work. And as soon as that dog heard that command, that dog stopped, went right to the side of that police officer, and looked at his face. And that's all that dog did. And that dog did not get in front of the police officer to trip him. He did not get behind him. He was right here looking at his face. And that officer was acting like, you know, he had his gun up and that dog was watching him. And he'd move around and the dog right with him. He'd turn and the dog would come around and he never stopped looking at his face. That dog did not know at all what was going on around him. It was only his face. And then he had another officer in the big puffy suit. And he gave the command, go. And boom, that man was down. And that dog just sat there looking at his face. You say the word, and I'm on it. That's what happened to Gabriel in Daniel 9. As soon as Daniel started praying, God the Father said, go. Boom, he flew swiftly. And that's what God's angels do for all of God's people. They just behold the face of the Father sitting on go. Turn with me to Daniel 6. I'm going to go over. I'm out of time. But I want to tell it to you. I got a few more. Daniel 6. Verse 16. This is Daniel in the lion's den. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You remember this story that the king didn't want to throw Daniel in that den, but by law he had to, and it was just killing him. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Those angels sat in that den with Daniel all night long, holding their hands on the mouths of those lions. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That's what they do, his pleasure. And what is his pleasure? It's the safe keeping care of his people. That's what his pleasure is. Now, I already read Psalm 91 to you for our scripture reading tonight, but it said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Against a stone. All right, now, 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings. Second Kings 6. The king of Syria wanted to take Elisha captive. He wanted to kill him. That's what he wanted to do. Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, when he was risen early and gone forth, he stepped out of their house. Behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant ran back into the house and said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And every one of them was sitting on go. The glory of the highest and the absolute safety of his people, that is the number one concern in the ministry of God's angels. And for our comfort, we can enjoy knowing that our God has an innumerable company of them. You can't count them. And he will station as many as is necessary to guard and defend and keep his people at all times. In all situations, in all circumstances. I remember Brother Henry talking about this one time in a message. He said, when you're driving down the road, they're sitting on the hood of your car. He said, when you come home at night and you walk up to your front door and put your key in your front doorknob, he said, they're sitting all over your porch. And this is not, you know, fairy tale hope. This is God's word at all times. Always beholding the face of the Father. Your angels at all times, they're not going to let you dash your foot against a stone. And because of that fact, because he has stationed his caregivers over his people at all times, I'm going to leave us with this closing exhortation. Go with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 2 says, Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And that's true. That's true. That's an exciting thought to me. That's a very exciting thought. To our God be all the glory for that. Because he won our absolute eternal safekeeping. He'll keep us all the way to the end. And there is no end. To God be all the glory for that. Amen.